Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 6, Always Accountable, is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead Live on post-show recaps. And now, here are two guys whose asses are itching from all the loose ends. I'm Alex Kidwell. He's AJ Mass. AJ, how's it going?
Things are going good. Things are going good. I think a lot of people are probably wondering, why are we spending our hour with these guys? They're not the main cast. What are we going on, a side trip here? It's not even Morgan and the Cheesemaker.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, to catch everybody up, Josh is on a quote unquote vacation now. And Rob, your other co-host, is celebrating slash recuperating from the birth of his second child. So, yeah, we're going to just JSS our way through this thing here like Enid. We're going to take the proverbial turtle in the woods and make some turtle sashimi, as Josh would say. So, yeah, for those who don't know me, I help Rob with some Big Brother stuff on RHAP. I'm a big fan of Walking Dead, somewhat knowledgeable about the comics. More so the show. And AJ, you guys surely know from the season 6 premiere with Rob. Beyond that, obviously, he is an ESPN fantasy sports, I guess, guru, you could say. The author of How Fantasy Sports Explains the World. And yes, it's hot in here. AJ, anything you want to add to that?
No, although after tonight's episode, I think I'm going to want to be called the General. You know, I found this really nice coat in the back, and you know, I'll put it on later. I didn't want to model it for you today, right off the front. Maybe later in the episode, something will happen.
Sounds good. Yeah, hopefully its original owner, the Crypt Keeper, isn't too upset about your taking of his coat. But yeah, so sounds good. Yeah, of course, it is live. It's Sunday night, right after the episode. We will be taking your tweets later in the show, so please tweet us using the hashtag PSRecaps. Our chat room is up at postshowrecaps.com, and you can, of course, comment on the YouTube channel as well at postshowrecaps.com/YouTube. And Rob and Josh, of course, will be back for Tuesday's voicemail show, so please leave some voicemails for them. Okay, getting into this episode, AJ, we kind of started off seemingly with a pretty exciting kind of start, right? We had this kind of ambush at the beginning. I kind of felt like we were going to kind of dive into a bit of an exciting episode after last week's kind of lull, but I felt like for the most part it was kind of slow, right?
Yeah, I mean, one could say this was the Citizen Kane of Walking Dead episodes with the big twist at the end, which we'll get to. Stunning twist that, you know, Rosebud is a sled, as it were. Yeah, a little slow at the, after that beginning sequence with the ambush. Wasn't really concerned that Daryl or Abraham or Sasha were going to get it right off the bat. As the episode went on, I thought perhaps maybe there was a chance, although they're not going to kill off Daryl. I think he's the one character on this trip that's fairly immune. Maybe Abraham and Sasha were in peril, but really, after that sequence at the beginning, it really ground to a halt. I mean, you know, if you're not going to give us Glenn and you're not going to give us anything going on with Rick and the gang at Alexandria, going really slow with Daryl and going slow with Abraham and Sasha, I don't know that this was the smartest move. But, you know, they got to fill the first half of the season somehow, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think you make a good point about, you know, any situation Daryl gets into, it's hard to really feel like he's in danger because we just feel like, you know, just the fans are going to riot if something happens to Daryl. It's been talked about before, and we just wonder if they're ever going to be able to pull that trigger on the show. Surely at some point they'd feel they can, but I don't know if we're at that point yet. I agree with you that, it is kind of an interesting, you know, I haven't seen too many takes yet online, but I feel like the general consensus is that this was kind of a slow, boring episode. And obviously a lot of people are, you know, kind of waiting with bated breath to find out kind of some more stuff that's going on with characters that we didn't see at all tonight. But, you know, it is an interesting choice. Certainly we did get introduced to some new people, which, you know, we certainly want to talk about kind of what the implications of that might be going forward, I guess. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Just a lot of kind of, you know, ho-hum a little bit, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you follow the kind of the pattern of these mini seasons, I mean, this is kind of the time where you introduce the bad guys for the following season. So perhaps this guy Wade and his posse with the society that lives by these particular rules that, are shit rules, you know, well, you know, maybe these are people who are going to encounter our heroes somewhere down the line after we finish with the walkers at the gate and the wolves for this half of the season. And maybe it'll pay off down the line. So, you know, in that sense, you know, this show doesn't usually introduce stuff that has no purpose. It's just, it's so far removed from where the payoff is going to be, and you're delaying gratification of this Glenn payoff, that it's really frustrating right now. It's a frustrating stretch to sit through. It's kind of like, you know, when we're waiting for at Herschel's farm and waiting for finding out what's in the barn, you know, once it gets there, it's gut wrenching and amazing. And so I know eventually we'll get there, but wow, it was a long, long hour.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, yeah, it's good to set up new stuff. Obviously, that has to happen. You know, you can't keep killing off people without establishing new people, or pretty soon it's going to be a really small cast. But at the same time, it's hard to get invested in new characters when we have kind of these big cliffhangers hanging over our heads from previous weeks. And yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's really trying right now for kind of the fans of The Walking Dead, is like really just trying to get through this, you know, these few episodes and just kind of get some kind of resolution. And I think maybe at that point you can go back and watch these episodes and maybe appreciate them a little more. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we talked about, you know, you touched on kind of this group and the guy Wade. And yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't get much of these people, but certainly I think we got enough to understand that there is another group, seemingly a big group, not too far from our people at Alexandria. And they don't seem to be very good people. That, like, this little group of people was certainly terrified of Wade and, you know, what he represented and, you know, who he maybe was representing. And it certainly, you know, it looked to me like a situation where, you know, this is definitely going to have some, you know, the story is going to unfold further as we learn more about these people and who they are and what they're about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Daryl, you know, he encounters these guys and he is taken prisoner. And as they're marching on this Bataan death march to who knows where to find Patty, they're looking for Patty. We know that much. We don't know who Patty is at this point, but you know, we don't know anything about them. And I kind of just, all I heard was the Peanuts voices when there was like, yeah, we burned this thing at the beginning, and the womp, 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 womp. I was just like, don't care. I don't care. I just don't care. Did we even learn their names? I mean, it was Exposition Guy, the We Earned It Girl, and the diabetic Tina, who we only heard as they were screaming at her when she died.
Right. I was thinking I was just kind of calling them the Insulin Gang. So yeah, I mean, you know, your guess is as good as mine. Certainly. Yeah. We earned what we took is another thing that I definitely you know, resonates. But yeah, names, I really have nothing for you.
No, I mean, and okay, so you know, if the show is not going to take the time to introduce us to these characters, then I'm not going to take the time to get to know them. I mean, as it turns out, you know, any character who survives an episode and lives to fight another day is someone we'll probably encounter again down the line, even if you just see them in zombie form, or, you know, as in the case of, you know, the guy that Rick let go, the limpy guy that encountered Rick, you know, we see him at the trough at Terminus later on. So characters come back. I would be surprised if we didn't see these characters again, but, you know, probably not until second half of the season and fairly middle of the season on, probably.
Yeah, you feel like those final words from Daryl, like, you will be sorry. That's got to have a payoff at some point. They're not going to just kind of leave that on the table. Yeah, and, you know, Daryl, that motorcycle is so iconic. You have to imagine he's going to see his bike again at some point. But, you know, on that note, Daryl loses his bike, and somehow he seems to find – was that a full fuel tanker in the middle of the woods? What was that? Do you know?
Yeah, it was a It was a full fuel tanker hidden in the woods. You know, I guess they this was kind of part of the story they were saying, how they torched the woods, and I'm sure they needed big something to ignite it. And so they had these tankers and everything, and the license plate said Patty. So they weren't looking for a woman named Patty, which is, of course, was in my mind. I watched The Leftovers, which I was recording while I was watching The Walking Dead. I'll watch it later. And Patty is a character on that show. So the name definitely jumped out at me. I'm primed to hear that name on Sunday. So I'm thinking it's a woman. And sure enough, at the end of the episode, Rosebud is a sled. Patty is a tanker. And Daryl is saved after all. He doesn't have to walk all the way back to Alexandria. He can just ride the gas truck all the way back. The Hess truck's back, and it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, what an oasis in the desert Patty turns out to be, huh? That really is like just a perfect find. It, you know, when things seem dark, you know, it's just one good turn deserves another, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little bit contrived, certainly, but you know, Daryl is rewarded in some, you know, on the show, anyone who does anything nice for somebody else usually comes back to bite them, whether it's a zombie bite or just, you know, you get shot or something horrible happens to you. This situation, yeah, maybe that'll come back to bite him down the road. It certainly, they stole his bike. They stole his crossbow. But this is Daryl Dixon. You're not going to leave him stranded out there forever. The writers are going to throw him a bone.
That's a good point. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, we have this group that, you know, seemingly is, you know, it sounds like they're good people, but, you know, when push comes to shove there at the end, they really do kind of, you know, make the not good people decision, the ethically unsound decision, and kind of, you know, just take what Daryl has when he finally gives him a moment. You know, he came back with the insulin. He certainly didn't need to do that. I mean, he, you know, showed vulnerability, and in so doing, they kind of preyed on his weakness a little bit. But at the same time, here they are, you know, terrified of these other people. And, you know, all we saw, you know, I thought it was interesting that we didn't really see faces except for the guy that got bit. You know, we just kind of see these bodies in the distance, all armed to the teeth and all just kind of, you know, spaced in formation and seemingly really having their stuff together. So I think that'll be really interesting to see kind of where that goes. And yeah, this guy Wade, you know, telling this guy who got bit to just walk it off, you know, like that's a good quote to have. But yeah, you know,
and taking his watch as well, making sure that he takes the watch off the separate arm because
the humanitarian
is behind it all.
Yeah.
I thought one of the things that was really cool about that, though, as not showing the faces, in addition to the fact that, you know, that means they don't really have to have cast the actors right now if they want to change the cast and cast Wade to somebody else down the line. Certainly that's an option. But one of the cool things is that, at least for me watching it, I thought these could be the wolves that we're encountering. And this might be, you know, where the wolves are hanging out and their headquarters are. We're still looking for them. So the fact that you didn't see their faces, so we couldn't see that there was no W on them, certainly was a good thing. I mean, it doesn't explain why they didn't think, you know, why is Daryl one of them if he doesn't have a W? But nevertheless, at least the wolves were still in play for a while. Probably not, as we learned, but at least it kept the mystery going a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. You know, I think I just assumed because we saw the wolves, like none of them seemed to have guns or ammo, and they all just seemed to be, you know, strapped with like machetes and ice picks and, you know, kind of hand stuff. So I kind of assumed when these guys seem to be packing like assault rifles that surely they're a different group. But, you know, yeah, I mean, we don't know. You know, we've never seen any kind of base that or headquarters that the wolves might have. We've never seen, like, you know, we speculate that maybe the guy Morgan's talking to because he seems to have, you know, insight and, you know, maybe he's a leader, but we don't know for sure if he's the leader of the wolves or if the wolves have a set leader. So there's still a lot of uncertainty there. And yeah, I mean, there's no way to really know if, you know, it's connected or not. So, I mean, that will be something definitely to watch in the coming episodes. And certainly I think in the second half of season six.
So I have a question for you about, basically the end where Daryl does, he asks some of the questions. What would we could call him? Insulin douche? Is that, everyone gets called douche on this show, right? Is that the tradition? Yeah, no. So he's going to be insulin douche?
I feel like we should honor the show and keep with tradition. So let's do that. That sounds good.
Yeah, hashtag, right? He gets to ask him the questions. You know, how many walkers have you killed? A couple dozen. How many people? None. And why not? And he says, you know, if I did, there's no going back. But he's still willing to turn on Daryl at the end. And Daryl's been so gung-ho about bringing people in. I mean, what do you think Daryl's take on this is going to be going forward as to whether or not he's going to continue to, you know, actively pursue people to join them? Or is this going to be something that sours him once and for all towards this quest to bring more people in?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, I think Daryl is a character who represents one of the more kind of, you know, moral light spots in kind of Rick's conscience. Certainly, I would say Glenn is like probably the brightest point of Rick's moral compass. But Daryl is certainly on the side that kind of shifts Rick towards doing the morally sound thing. I mean, we've certainly seen scenes where Rick wants to put somebody down or not take a chance. And Daryl has kind of, kind of convinced him that that's not the right path for them. But yeah, I just don't know if this is something that he'd be able to forgive. I mean, we also saw him hanging out with that group of guys at one point that were, I mean, really bad guys, the claimed guys. And, yeah. You know, with the other crossbow guy. And, you know, he was able to fit in pretty well with those guys too. And it seemed like if he didn't get away from that group that at least to me, it seemed like he was in danger of kind of, you know, assimilating with his surroundings a little bit. Like he's maybe the kind of guy that, you know, is brought down by negativity around him and is brought up by positivity, I think, maybe. So I do wonder if, you know, if Daryl being taken advantage of will, you know, bring about some kind of shift in his psyche. I think that's an interesting thought. I was wondering about, is this really going to be the storyline? Is he going to get the crossbow back? Is this like, you know, is this Daryl? Is this, or is he evolving? You know what I mean? Like, have we seen Daryl, or are we just kind of like scratching the surface a little?
Well, I mean, you know, we saw a little bit when they first got to Alexandria where Michonne hangs up her katana and that was so much an identifying, you know, thing for her, and to be able to get it back and you know, now she keeps it with her, you know, she's, you know, all bets are off kind of thing. And she's the Michonne we used to know. So, you know, maybe it's a chance for Daryl to try on a new outfit for a while, to try on a new look, a new philosophy and see where it takes him. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we're learning that people's true selves shine through and people are who they are. And the apocalypse changed people. But now that we're in the apocalypse, there's nothing's going to change them back. Their true selves have emerged, and that's what they are. So I think Daryl's always going to be Daryl. He's always going to be this good person who's going to go back and return the bag when he realizes what's in it, and that he's not going to be this heartless person. It's not Daryl. It's not an outfit that he wears well.
Yeah. And I definitely did love the return of the three questions. I don't think, have we gotten that since, I want to say like Father Gabriel is the last person they asked it to. What do you think? Does that sound right?
It's been a while. Well, they've been in Alexandria. They haven't been going out. Rick certainly hasn't been going out. So, they never actually found the guy in the red poncho.
That's right. Yeah. And they weren't the ones asking the questions at Alexandria. That's right. They didn't get to be on that side of the camera.
It's true. Well, we're talking about putting on different clothes and putting on a new outfit. You know, there were three people in this episode, and Daryl's side was certainly, to me, the more interesting, just because it was Daryl. Even though Daryl didn't, you know, even when the characters on the screen are saying, shut up, Daryl, we don't talk, it's still more interesting to me than what was going on with Abraham and Sasha. I mean...
Yeah. No, that was a lot of talk of, you know, like, well, we have air conditioning, and this is so good right here. And, you know, just a lot of just, you know... And, you know, obviously, you know, we were getting to a point where I think Abraham ultimately came to grips with, okay, I'm not quite all together right now. You know, maybe Sasha has a point. Maybe I've been kind of, you know, embracing a bit of a death wish here. And certainly, you know, that moment with, you know, I don't know if you want to call him like, you know, soldier, you know, the soldier zombie or, you know, bazooka guy or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that moment where he's just, you know, taking upon himself to, you know, I mean, just play a bit of chicken with him and really just, you know, like, I'm not going to put him down, but I'm going to go for the bazooka. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting when then, you know, he realizes that what he's doing is ridiculous and he kind of steps back and he, you know, he grabs a cigar and then the situation kind of resolves itself. Right. And I felt like that was kind of, you know, a bit of a metaphor for kind of Abraham's approach of just needing to, you know, get his hands in the shit, as he talks about, and really just kind of fix everything. And here's something that he didn't need to fix, right? That presented itself to him because he was able to kind of take a step back and clear his head. And I thought that was pretty interesting and maybe a sign of kind of where his character might go now that he's maybe on the other side of whatever it was that he was dealing with. You know, certainly he had gotten himself to a place he needed to be to survive, but is that someplace you can live for a long, sustained period of time? I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, his character's always been interesting. And ever since we got his backstory, you know, where we pretty much see he hasn't ever really had time to mourn the loss of his family because, you know, his first impulse was suicide. And the only thing that saved him was Eugene walking up and saying, I got a mission for us. We got to go. You got to save me. So, you know, once the mission was over and, you know, he realized Eugene was a lying liar who lies, it kind of put him in a place where he had to face once again that he hasn't ever come to grips with the loss of his family. And, you know, he's trying to avoid it by whatever means necessary, whether it's getting out of the car and running into the woods to get the walkers back on track or, you know, playing chicken with the soldier zombie. I mean, it's just like he's looking to distract himself. And he said it himself. He's like, you know, I need to do this because otherwise I have to face the choices that I've made, that I have to, you know, basically he's got to remember all that he's lost, and he doesn't want to do that yet. And so what better way to keep that and stave that off than to, you know, just look for trouble?
Yeah, I think that is one of the, you know, I mean, certainly this episode was slower, but I did think we got a pretty interesting look into some different, like, people who are in the in similar places physically and yet very different places emotionally, mentally. So, you know, that's interesting to me. But, you know, I think, you know, we were talking about, you know, him putting on the coat and, you know, the conversation they were having and stuff. Are you shipping this thing? Is this this Abraham Sasha? What do you want to call this? Sabraham? Abasha?
Sasha Ham. I'm going to call him Gray Skies Abe. Sasha's going from Blue Sky Bob to Gray Skies Abe. I mean, it's just complete opposite of what you had before. I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is healthy in any way, shape, or form. And I think this is more of just any port in a storm for both of them. And I mean, has Abraham completely forgotten about Rosita? I mean, certainly Sasha hasn't. She's basically said, like, okay, player, you got to take care of your business first and tell the girly girl, you know, so we ain't doing nothing until you tell girly girl. And so I think that was kind of the unspoken elephant in the room.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, you have to wonder what Rosita's thinking back home. You know, I mean, here she is, just back in Alexandria.
Well, she's standing on the watchtower,
helping out,
with tears in her eyes because Abraham's not there. I mean, this is not good.
Such an ill-fated run for Rosita's relationship. This turned out to be.
Well, maybe it'll give her something to do because she has done nothing of import. So maybe it'll give her some impetus to be a little bit woman scorned.
let me shift gears for a second. I've got a question for you. What was, you know, so they're looking for, you know, they're talking about, obviously they burned down the woods, the insulin gang here, and they're looking for Patty, and they're going around, and, you know, we get to like some burned down house, and the girl's talking about, like, I guess, like, she used to watch these kids or something, whoever lived here. And we get, like, people they know that are, like, encased in lucite. Like, what is this? Why were they in, like, glass tombs? And, like, what was I looking at here? I really couldn't figure this out. I went back and I tried to figure it out, and I got nothing.
The only thing I could think of is that they were, you know, did they commit suicide? You know, did they wrap themselves in plastic and asphyxiate themselves as some sort of suicide? Or, you know, I'm not entirely sure. But clearly there were people they knew. They didn't know that they were in the woods. They were burning the woods down because all the walkers were there. And they thought that would be the best way to clear the area. And so they thought they were out of town and had escaped because they didn't want to kill people that they knew. And this is the first, you know, big reveal that, oh my gosh, they're people we knew. Oh, boo-hoo. Let me go and give them a kiss and say goodbye. Good move, Tina. Good move.
You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, I was taught from a young age, you know, this is the danger of out of control forest fires. You know, I think Spooky the Bear would be really, really upset with this episode.
Only you can prevent forest fires. But, I think there's a lot of stuff here that, like you said before, that if these characters come back, and I think they will, certainly you don't steal Daryl Dixon's crossbow and go off into the night, never to be seen again. Even if it's your charred corpse on the side of the road, he's picking that crossbow back up. You know, it's down the line on the rewatch, there might be some gems in here and some interesting things that we find once we know a little bit more of backstory of who these people really are. And there are probably some hints in here, but for now, I don't see it. Can't see the forest for the burnt out trees, I guess.
Yeah. Shifting gears a little bit, people have been talking about it a little bit here, and certainly we talked about it a little before the show. I thought it was, and you didn't as much, but, you know, there at the very end, you know, the walkie static has been kind of a recurring theme through like the last couple episodes. Rick can't get anybody. Glenn can't get anybody. And then we hear somebody respond to Daryl there at the end. I really thought that was Steven Yeun's voice, and obviously I'm looking for it. But am I just reaching here?
Well, I mean, assuming I didn't think so. But then again, I didn't really recognize Rick's voice at the end of the Morgan episode, but I happened to be watching with the closed captioning on, and it said Rick, so I was like, oh, it's Rick. So that was confirmation. Unfortunately, I did not watch with the closed captioning on tonight, so I'm not sure what they said on the closed captioning. However, Dalton Ross did post an interview with Norman Reedus as soon as the episode ended, and at least if you're going to believe Norman Reedus, he says that was not Glenn. It's the headline of the article. Norman Reedus says that voice is not Glenn. So assuming that they're going to, you know, maintain radio silence on Glenn, and he's not going to come out and say no if it's not, if it is him. They're not going to do that. So I think it was wishful thinking on your part.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I'd be interested if anyone did watch with closed captions, if they, you know, if it just said, you know, mysterious voice or, you know, what it was. But I would really want to go back and know for sure, because I'm sure I'm overthinking it, but I listened to it a couple times and I'm like, you know, it really sounds like it could be Glenn to me, but you know, I mean, we're craving it after a few episodes here. I think we're scratching for whatever we can get on that end. You know, this is something Rob and Josh haven't talked about yet, but I think we're almost at a point now where it's worth talking about. Have you been watching the Flight 462 stuff on the in-betweens?
You know, I've been fast-forwarding through the commercials, but since they're only like 17 seconds long each, I think I've probably caught it even in the fast-forward.
You got the gist.
I watched it tonight because I was watching live and not usually I watch the leftovers and then go back and watch Walking Dead on the fast forward. So, I got it that there's a flight going on and the guy's in the bathroom and he's dead or something. But, I don't think there's a point to it because they're so small. If there were 30 second vignettes, maybe, at the end, put them all together, put them on YouTube and I'll watch them. And I think it's probably very well done in the full chunk. Once it's over, I think it'll probably be a pretty cool, like, 7-minute thing. But these little snippets are just, there's not enough there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's a really interesting choice how they, you know, went to go about doing this. And I was thinking, you know, that maybe there'd be, you know, that they'd get progressively longer and that this half season would come to some kind of resolution with it. And now I'm pretty sure that we're not going to get anywhere with this story until May, I guess, like basically the end of season 6 proper. And, you know, to me that is really dragging out. I mean, something that, yeah, like you said, like when all said and done might be like a 6-7 minute YouTube video and we're just getting like time, like 15 second bits, which I mean, yeah, it's, I think it's going to get interesting. And yeah, I mean, it probably would be a good standalone watch, but yeah, I mean the first, what, 4 episodes was like the kid texting with his mom. So, yeah, I mean, it really has kind of come out just with in a slow trickle here.
Yeah, I mean, considering they'll give you a 3-minute trailer for Into the Badlands leading up into tonight's premiere, it's just like, okay, I get it. You know, if I want to see Into the Badlands, I'll watch Into the Badlands. I don't need to see 3 minutes of it every commercial break. And to get 3 minutes of that and like 3 seconds of the Fear plane story, it's like, no, thank you. I'll pass. I think I'd rather watch a little more of the courtship of Abraham and Sasha.
Yeah, well, I mean, who wouldn't? Let's be honest. That's a plot with legs. But
did you happen to see what was on the chalkboard in the office of the zombie behind the glass?
Yeah, I thought it was really nice, right? It was just, you know, stay positive, be cheerful, the bite kills, you know, it's just some helpful, just a little like, Dear Heloise, kind of like helpful hints for the zombie apocalypse there for you.
It was kind of funny. It was kind of like, it reminded me of like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where like, you know, it's like, you know, he's just writing on the wall, pray for the world, keep going, stay cheerful, bite scale kill,
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's interesting that you have some of these examples of characters that, like, you know, even as they're dying, they're leaving kind of their last memento. Or like Eastman, you know, when he gets bit and he's just like, ah, hell, you know, I mean, how are you not just screaming and tearing off through the woods? Like, I don't identify with that part myself, but, you know.
I would just like to see David Mamet's take on it, like a Glengarry Glenn Ross, like, always be chomping. You're a zombie. How many kills you got? Second place, you're fired. Zombie brains are for zombies. Brains are for closer zombies. I don't know. a lot went through my head when I was watching these scenes because I was so not interested in the scenes. I love this show, and I wish I could get more interested. And I do usually like the diversion episodes. I really do. I love Morgan at the Cheesemaker, and I've actually been on the show, post show recaps, these Walking Dead recaps with, I did The Grove, which was, you know, just a Carol Tyree story. And I did one of the Governor episodes. I usually end up getting these like side stories, and I've loved them all up until now. This one just was the first real clunker, and it came after last week. I know Josh and Rob did not like last week's episode a ton.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't. And I actually was okay with last week's, in terms of being a place filler, even though I did agree that it was kind of dull and it wasn't exactly, it was a little slow to do that episode and then this episode. It's like, oh, next week had better A, answer Glenn, and B, have, you know, a lot of the zombie stuff and some
Jackson,
you know
Jackson.
Alexandria. Just something. Get these guys back and let's go. Let's do this, because two episodes in a row, man, the momentum has just slowed to a screeching halt, and I just don't know why the show is doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, to be honest, I wonder if a big chunk of it is just the way we started out this season. I mean, we came out of the gate so fast between that first episode with the biggest walker horde you've ever seen on the show, right from the get go of the episode. And then the second episode where you get, I mean, the wolves attack on Alexandria is just a nonstop. Like, I felt like I needed a cigarette after watching that episode. So, I mean, that was one of those that, it's a situation where, yeah, they did kind of paint themselves into a corner a little bit, I guess, with, you know, I mean, they set the bar really high, and then it's like, well, how do you hurdle it now, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, they did the same thing when they left the prison, and they all went their separate ways before they were reunited at Terminus, but at least there, I felt they were, even though they were apart, there was still a common goal. They were all trying to get to the same place, and they knew it. And I actually liked some of the quieter moments and learning more about these characters and their different arrangements. So there was always something, yeah, maybe the least interesting story was when they went to Maggie Bob and Sasha on their travels. That was probably the one I didn't like, but one episode of that was fine. Here it's fine to show some of the aftermath at Alexandria, obviously, because the wolves attack was so important, but we didn't see Carol. We didn't really see Morgan. So it was kind of like, well, you're here and they're not in it. That's kind of weird. And then to go from that, let's feature all the, you know, the flunkies, and now introduce three new flunkies, to pal around with Daryl. It just was like, okay, where are we going with this? Can we bring it back, please? And I'm hoping that now that you know they've got their gas truck, that they'll come back and we'll get back on track, because it's just too long. It's too long to be without the group together when we know that that's the goal, is to get the group together, and there's no reason for them to take this side trip.
Yeah, and also, you know, what happened to the other half of the horde that was right behind them? Weren't they, you know, wasn't that like, you know, like a not a big gap? Like, weren't they maintaining a close distance so that horde could follow them and then ambush and then what?
I think they had reached the intersection where the horde was going to go straight and they were going to loop back.
So they broke off.
Yeah, I think they had gone their 20 miles or whatever. That's my assumption, was like, okay, now we've hit the point. That's why we were driving so far ahead. It's like, so we don't want them to follow us anymore. Let's get ahead and hook back. So I think that was the plan. Just didn't necessarily work out because they didn't realize they were entering an episode of the new spinoff, the insulin buddies and their whittling skills.
Yeah, that was just a real case of wrong place, wrong time there, I guess. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, well, you know, that's fine. Like I said, that kind of thing, that's interesting because, mm-hmm. you know, the ambush, okay, that's something that's going to happen. But, like, that was the first 5 minutes. And until, you know, really until the girl, the we earned it girl, took the gun and held it at Daryl, I didn't think there was any danger. At that point, I said, you know what? He could get shot here. That would be amazing, because that would be, you know, that would be a jaw-dropping stunner. But, you know, at that point, you know, if Daryl gets shot, then Glenn walks into Alexandria next week. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah, boy, you lose both those guys in quick succession. Yeah, I think a lot of fans are wondering what you have left to work with.
I mean, just even the fact that the guy insulin-induced pulled the trigger, you know, like that was at least, you know, yeah, it was a warning shot, but even that was enough to probably scare the bejesus out of a bunch of people. But yeah. Daryl's about as immune as they get.
Yeah. Now he certainly, I mean, if you're going to make the short list, I think he's right up there next to Rick. But it's interesting. These kneelers, you know, and then just talking about, I thought the line that was interesting that they dropped, the people will trade everything for safety line until they have nothing left, you know, until they're just going through the motions. Right. And, you know, I think that'll be, you know, interesting to see, like, what exactly do they mean by that? What kind of society have they set up over wherever these people are, and kind of what does it look like? I mean, it sounds to me almost like kind of a warlord type of setup where they've got kind of like a Genghis Khan type situation, or, you know, one guy just kind of subjugating everyone or something. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. What's your take on that?
This whole season is kind of like the philosophy of, you know, when are you safe and how do you react to this world? And, you know, you get the Morgan side, the kill no one, and you got the Rick side, which is, you know, the don't take any chances kind of side, and Deanna with the, you know, the pie in the sky kind of, we have to rebuild. And I think they're all going to kind of impact each other and come to some sort of consensus that it's fine to look forward to the future. And it's fine to trust people a little bit. Don't kill unless you have to, but don't take chances either. I think there's a marriage there. There's a happy medium. And I think that, you know, Daryl's going to come in and probably be able to take his experience from this journey. And, you know, when Abraham's going to come in with the grenade launcher with, you know, four really nice rockets there. And those will come into play whenever the next big bad comes in. I mean, we've got the weaponry now to take him out from long distance. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, good point. That is a major find. And I find it hard to believe that we won't see one of those, you know, bazooka rounds running afoul of somebody's tank at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I think that maybe we save it for the Wade's gang when they come, but certainly it's going to come to play at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Just a quick take. If someone is going to die this season, because I know you and Rob did a death draft, didn't you, or did you?
No, that was the Wiggler.
Okay, the Wiggler.
I did predict in response to that, I was asked which of the main cast I thought. I had Glenn as my number two on that list, and I had Abraham at number one as far as main cast members I thought would die. So because I thought I saw Abraham being as suicidal and taking these chances, but now that he's professed his undying love or lust for Sasha, maybe not, although Rosita might kill him. I think Abraham has survived the way, and you know, Glenn, it didn't surprise me. I don't even want to talk about Glenn because because there's no way he's alive, and yet there's no way he's dead. I think we know he's Schrödinger's Walking Dead cast member right now, and just leave the box closed for as long as possible. I mean, I know I want the answers, but I know I'm not going to be happy with the answers. The only way that I would have been fine with this whole Glenn is, you know, Stephen Yeun is still here. We'll see Glenn in some form. I mean, I would love to see an entire episode from Glenn's point of view, where Glenn is trying to get back to Alexandria, and he gets to the gate, and then, you know, we whip around to Maggie's point of view, and Glenn's a zombie, and, you know, the whole time we didn't know. That would be a really cool episode for me, because we've never seen a zombie point of view episode, and I think doing it from Glenn's point of view, someone we know, that would be really cool. I don't think they're doing that, but if that would be how I would have treated this, you know, a way to say he's still on the show and, you know, to have him somehow, this instinct to come back, much like Morgan's wife kept turning the doorknob, you know, I to have him, you know, somehow be able to keep enough of his humanity to come to try and make it back, even though he's actually a zombie. That would be cool for me. But anything short of that, and I'm going to be disappointed. So.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't envision a scenario that I would have been happy with until, you know, the one you just laid out seems kind of intriguing. I kind of like that. Maybe you should, send that over to the powers that be at AMC. Maybe they're
Get me in the writer's room.
They may well be still fishing for ideas at this point. I don't know if they know what they're doing right now. So,
no, I think they know. I don't know if they're happy with it, but I think they know.
for better or worse. AJ, anything we're missing to talk about here, or should we get into some questions?
Yeah, let's get into some questions, because I'm sure there is something that we're missing, but we're not going to come up with it. I mean, I took notes through this, but there was so little happening in these scenes. Yeah, you know, it's two stories, and, you know, one is Daryl meeting new people who screw him over, and one is no screwing on that one either. Yeah, okay, anyway.
We'll leave that one there. All right. This question is from Will Northrup. Sasha's nice and all, but Abraham is going to ditch Rosita for her? Hashtag PS Recaps. Yeah, what do you think about that, AJ? Is Sasha definitely a step down from Rosita?
No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say is that Abraham doesn't feel good about himself, and I think he thinks Rosita is deserving of better than him. He has such a negative opinion of himself, and Sasha kind of gets him and gets this dark side, this death wish kind of thing. I mean, you know, this is someone who's been sleeping on dead bodies. So I mean, you know, she gets him, and I think it's more that he'd rather be with someone who is in the same mindset, even if she's just gotten through it. I think he doesn't believe that she's totally through it, and therefore would be happier with her. And he's doing Rosita a favor in his mind. But I mean, I don't have any problems with Sasha. Just if she was sane, I think it would be a more balanced choice. I mean, you're going to pick the crazy person who said, "Oh no, I don't have a death wish anymore." I'm like, I don't know, maybe you do.
No, I think you hit it on the head. I think crazy, you know, crazy attracts crazy, right? This is, you know, something that people have speculated about. You know, I don't know if there's definitely a degree of psychology to that, and you know, certainly we saw that, like, you know, Abraham and Rosita haven't had the same relationship, I think, since Abraham beat Eugene within an inch of his life. You know, I think that really was kind of a really kind of awkward moment that they really never recovered from fully, because this was a trio that was traveling, just the three of them, for a while. And it really is just kind of dropping a turd in the punch bowl when you beat one of them half to death. It kind of restrains the relationship with the other one a bit.
Yeah, although, like I said, we did see her crying because he wasn't around. I think it may be the case that because he went away, now she realizes her true feelings. And so maybe you're right that you know, Abraham didn't think there was anything to salvage, because he thought it was over, and maybe he's going to come back and find out that, no, that's not the case. And we're going to have some interesting awkward silences when the three of them in a room together.
The Walking Dead days of our lives.
Indeed.
Okay. This question is from Coach's Beard. Are Sasha and Abraham in some Survivors Anonymous meetings, and are they each other's support system? Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty apt comparison. What do you think, AJ?
Yeah, and I think perhaps that was part of the what was hinted at with the chalkboard with all those positive aphorisms. You know, keep going, stay cheerful. I mean, yeah, maybe they were in kind of a Apocalypse Anonymous kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, certainly they're each other's support system. I definitely, you know, see that. You know, these are two people that, you know, certainly when we were introduced to them, they were different people than they are now. It seems very clear that probably more than anyone else, these are two people who have kind of lost the path or the kind of just general semblance of the characters that we had come to know. So, you know, it seems like a circumstance where they're going to kind of be able to draw strength from each other, and kind of, you know, you need other people. You know, people have talked about on this show that people, that's what matters. You know, without people, you know, how could you make sense of or live in this kind of a world? So yeah, I think that's definitely a key thing going forward. Here's a question from R. Philly, Wharf Rat. Is it just me, or is Abraham's vernacular a thing of beauty? That man is the epitome of a warrior poet, a true modern philosopher. What do you think about that, AJ? Are you bullish on Abraham's use of language?
I think I'm going to side with Sasha here and call bullshit when I see it. I think he talks a good game, but I think it's a lot of hot air. I think it's a lot of indicating nothing and not full of much substance.
But he's been dealing with the shit, AJ, with no respite whatsoever. There's been no respite.
Yeah, I think I'll take the former and we'll reevaluate in the morning.
I really like Abraham. It's hard for me to.
Yeah, it's a colorful character, and I like the fact that he's got his own voice. I mean, it's you know, Daryl has his own kind of version of the Southern twang, and Eugene's kind of got his kind of little stilted little I'm smart, but I'm not really smart, so I kind of like talk like this. And so, you know, they all got their own little the take on living there in the Georgia heat. So I like his take on it. It's entertaining, certainly.
Yeah, and I definitely like that, you know, we know Abraham well enough to know that when he opened that box of cigars and found it almost full, that was a huge win for him. You know, I was excited for him in that moment.
Yes, okay.
Here's another question. This one is from the infamous Cabin Douche. With all the focus on people losing faith in other people being good, will we see some giant redeeming moment? What do you think about that, AJ? Is this show trending towards more faith in people or less faith in people?
It depends on the people, right? I mean, I think every outsider group that we've met so far has ended up sticking together, and you know, it's an us and it's a them, and it's really hard for a them to become part of us. And you know, what was great about going to Alexandria is we saw it from the other side, where the Alexandria was the us and our people were the them. But you know, I think our characters are who they are, and for the most part, even though they sometimes have to do horrible things, we don't really have any horrible people in our group, and I think that's what's important. We're not rooting for the bad guys, even though from another point of view they could be the bad guys. You know, is there much difference between our group and the people at Terminus in some of the ways they handled newcomers? No, but I think because we spent a lot of time with them, we're able to see their motivations and you know, see that they have remorse and see that they want to do the right thing. And sometimes the right thing, unfortunately, in this world is killing people. So I don't think there necessarily is redemption coming up. It's just we are who we are. And at the core, our group is good. It's just, you know, if people leave them alone, that they'll be allowed to be good.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of my favorite moments with the show, and it isn't necessarily, you know, especially with episodes like this, the slower episodes, the things I really appreciate are really like the philosophical differences, really the situations where you have kind of these moments, these choices in a split second, and, you know, the butterfly effect that will inevitably come from, you know, if I let this guy live, or, you know, if I should kill this guy, and what it'll do to me, you know, to my psyche, and kind of, you know, every choice has a consequence. And I think that's really one of the great things that The Walking Dead has done, is really kind of established, you know, these different moral outlooks and how people are able to kind of make things work for them as they need to just to get by day to day, you know, because that's really all you can do in this world.
Yeah, and Daryl's sales pitch at the end is like, you know, I have people, and you know, they're kind of like the way we were, like, sort of. Like, right. he realized, like, you know, well, okay, but for the most part, yeah, my group are good people when we can be. So, but all people, you know, that's what people are. Some people aren't saints, and people aren't. You would hope most people are not horrible psychopaths. So. Unfortunately, most of the psychopaths are the ones who have survived this far.
That's right. Yeah. But especially in this new world, I think, you know, with a world of cannibals and wolves and all these people, I think Rick's group is looking really good by comparison.
Well, I mean, if they ever, you know, came up to a group and like, what do you guys call yourselves? We call ourselves the flowers. Like, you know, OK, well, I don't think we're going to see that because we're not going to be scared.
Well, it is disarming. I mean, that's an interesting thought. You know, just give yourself a nice easy name.
Don't trust them. They call themselves the flowers. Could be a Venus flytrap. Those are flowers.
All right, let's take another one here from the chill guy. Am I the only one who hates when Walking Dead goes with the super slow artsy scenes? The faded background behind Abraham. Come on. What are your thoughts on that, AJ? Did you? I didn't really catch that. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, maybe there was a lot of
observation, but
no, there was a lot of iris up on that sequence. Yeah, a lot of the bright backgrounds behind Abraham. Certainly I saw it. And, you know, to contrast that with the burnt out grays and black soot that Daryl was behind, I mean, you know, it shows that they're going on separate journeys and, you know, will Abraham find the light that's behind him that's there that he doesn't see? And will Daryl see the darkness that's there, or will he only see the good in people? So I get the thematic stuff. And like I said, on a second watching, you know, couple years from now, when I know that what this episode means in the grand picture, I'll probably come back and go, hey, you know what? That was kind of pretty cool. But on the first, I needed to hit on the story level first and then the allegorical artsy stuff. I don't mind that it's there. It probably will, like I said, will save the episode on a second viewing. Cause like I said, you know, we just watched this. I didn't think of that, but you know, now just talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that is kind of cool.
So. Yeah, I mean, it certainly didn't stand out to me in a bad way. I mean, it wasn't like a star wipe or something in the middle of nowhere, you know. So I thought it was fine. Let's take another question here from R. Philly. Did this episode make you like Sasha any more or less than you did already? Are you interested in seeing more of her in the future? What do you think about that? Sasha was kind of a character that was like, where are we going with this girl here before this episode?
It's not that I want to see more or less of Sasha. I want to see consistent use of Sasha if they're going to use her. I mean, don't show her for one episode and then not for three more and then not for three more. You know, if she's going to become a prominent player, that's fine. You know, the characters who stay in the background and only crop up once in a while are your Father Gabriel's. You know, I'm totally fine with Father Gabriel, you know, piping in once in a while and being a nuisance and being annoying or, you know, going away. You know, same thing with Carl. I don't want to see Carl's storyline all that much. You know, you want to have it in there once in a while, that's great. But if Sasha's going to be a player, then let's bring her in. I don't have an issue with it. Just be consistent about it. You know, when she was on her death wish, she was always walking off by herself. And it was like, okay, I don't need to see it if she's going to be doing that if there's no payoff to it. And there still hasn't been a payoff to it. Just let's bring it back into the group and tie it together.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I think, you know, it's good to see these kind of character arcs and character journeys, but it really does have to be done with purpose and kind of with a clear sense of A, direction, and B, kind of finality. Like, you know, is it just teetering along, or are we going to see some kind of resolution to, you know, what this character is going through at any point?
Or be interesting in turn, and feel natural. I mean, this whole thing with Abraham and Sasha felt very forced to me. This relationship, and I get it in terms of the where Abraham's character is and where Sasha was. So I get it. It's not like it's completely out of left field, kind of thing. But it also didn't feel natural in the same way to me that Tara and Dr. Denise did, where like that kind of just felt like it felt more natural to me. You know, if Carol suddenly, you know, went up to one of the Alexandrians and started a romance, that would totally ring false. So
I baked you a casserole.
Yeah, like that wouldn't work for me. It needs to be a natural outgrowth of the characters. And it seems to me that they're doing this with Sasha and Abraham simply because they don't know what else to do with these characters right now. And that's not a good reason to do it, I think.
Yeah, yes, good point. Good point. AJ, is there anything we haven't touched on that you think we need to here?
No, I think this was not a Gradum episode.
Oh, Gradum.
It was definitely a place filler. It was a moving the pieces so that we could kind of wrap up the fact that, okay, we got that half of the horde out of here, and now let's bring this horde back in. I think in the large view of the whole season, we'll probably look back on this episode and it will be important, but it was tough to sit through in the present. So it's probably going to be a key episode down the line, but to actually watch it, no immediate gratification here. And since we don't know where it's going, it's hard to get too excited about it. Like I said, I think the timing of this for Rob and Josh was probably pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good that, you know, we didn't, get kind of the big resolution that they were waiting on, because certainly that's a payoff that they were wanting. But yeah, I mean, I certainly thought that tonight was, you know, meh. as far as The Walking Dead is goes, but you know, certainly this show is set the bar high, you know, like we talk about. So, you know, it's still to me, you know, better than most anything else that's on TV. And, you know, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, no. Like I said, it wasn't like such a disaster where I was like, you know, checking my emails or anything. I mean, it was still interesting. It just, like you said, the season started off with such a bang, and I have a feeling it's going to end with a bang as well. Mm-hmm. So to have some slowness in the middle is to be expected. It's just, you know, the diversion they took with Morgan was so good and so interesting. And this one really wasn't, because it was just a lot of exposition, a lot of new characters, and it just moved a little bit too slowly for my taste. But like I said, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, this is still a solid show.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to have talked about it with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right in that, you know, we've established some characters here tonight that certainly are going to play, you know, pay dividends going forward. Certainly, you know, Wade and the gang are going to be people to watch going forward. AJ, hashtag for this episode. I kind of liked Gray Sky Abe. I thought that was a good one by you.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I was insulin douche. We'll let Rob and Josh use the douches. Let's go with their own thing. Let's go with it.
I like it. All right.
Gray Sky Abe.
Gray Sky Abe is our hashtag. Again, Rob and Josh will be doing the voicemail show on Tuesday, so get your Walking Dead voicemails in. Postshowrecaps.com/voicemail. You can leave your comments on postshowrecaps.com, and you can email us at twd@postshowrecaps.com. Really appreciate everything, and looking forward to see what you guys have to say in the comments. Thanks so much. Bye.